You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya, Anthas Gaklia, Talit, Tim, Homasque, Mustail.
Hello, gamers.
Hello.
Hi, gamers.
Hi, gamers.
Before the pod, we were talking about album releases in the month that you were born, and after looking up, I realized that 2 weeks after I was born, the single for Beck's Loser came out.
Oh, sick.
Yes. Okay, that slaps.
And also Sesame Street's Sesame Road album, which I think may be Sesame Street covering the Beatles.
Oh, the only Beatles I will listen to.
Straight up.
Honestly, yeah.
The Slim Shady EP dropped for me.
Oh my god.
That's so good.
Oh, My Heart Will Go On dropped.
Yeah.
Butterfly by Mariah Carey dropped.
Oh, I was hoping it was going to be like the song from DDR.
Oh, yes.
Aaron Carter dropped.
Anyone else like get really obsessed with DDR like sometime in their youth and get like really good at it? I was a master. Yes.
I have not had the chance to get good at it because my obsession with DDR existing has been like mid-pandemic. But I am in a Discord server where they teach you how to make songs in Stepmania, which
in theory,
you could put your custom files on a flash drive and take them to Metro Town because they have a Stepmania machine. And I believe you can just plug in your thing and do it.
What? I didn't know you could do that.
I think you can. I'm not quite sure how it works, but I think you can do that.
I love that so much. But I was really good at DDR. I like hold the back bar and like go for it and everything.
Yes. Now that's a pro move. Because your legs are just flying so fast.
You need the extra stability. You need that bar.
Exactly.
I used to like embarrass my friends because I wore like combat boots and like I would be on the machine and it'd just be like bam, 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 bam.
That's me in my hot pink docks at Metro Town.
It's being the loudest person in the arcade.
And then, like, the pop spillage, like, helps your grip. like the movie theater floor texture
helps stick, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I love a good stick. If I go to a bar and the floors are just terminally sticky, I know I'm at the right bar.
Yeah. I love the term terminally sticky.
Terminally Sticky. That's gonna be my new album name.
I'm glad I could help you out.
Songs for the terminally sticky.
Ew.
Yeah. I gotta say that my DDR experience was very different from yours. For me, it was my babysitter. My dad would be like, okay, I'm gonna give you some money and you're gonna stay here for a few hours alone. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'm 12, this is epic. And then I would just do DDR for like hours at a time. He'd come back and I'd be
on the
sweaty.
Mat. On the plastic mat.
Oh, are you talking about the Wii?
There was one that you could just like plug into your RCA and it was just a plastic mat on the floor and it would just slide around.
Oh no, he would just drop me off at like an arcade.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's just like, here you go, have fun. Here's money. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm gonna spend it
straight
all
up
on DDR.
Have you guys ever been to Castle Fun Park?
Yes.
No. But I do know people who like grew up in Abbotsford and like went to the Christian school and that was apparently all they did after school. And I respect that.
Okay, pod trip to Castle Fun Park.
I should reframe that I've never been to Castle Fun Park, but I know so many people who have been and shown me photos that I know it's just this very strange beast off of Highway 1 that you see coming out of Chilliwack.
It's really weird. I've got a friend who lives out in Langley, so we go sometimes. But yeah, it's very, like, some of those, they've got a couple of mini golf courses that are like super liminal spaces. Like there's one that's jungle themed and there's one that's ocean themed.
Okay, I like that.
They're in the basement, and they're super liminal spaces. Like, it's kind of intense.
Oh, that sounds so
indoor
good.
Indoor mini golf.
It's like the rumored secret bowling alley in Tawasin.
Wait.
I don't think I've ever even heard of Castle Fun Park. I mean, I can assume things about the name, but it has a basement?
Yeah.
That's sinister.
There's,
I love it.
There's three mini golf courses. There's one outside, and there's two inside. Outside and inside, sorry. And there's a whole ass arcade. The upstairs is all the old machines, and the downstairs is all the new machines. And then there's a go-kart arena, too.
You just answered so many questions I had.
I wanna go.
We should go.
There's even a shooting range, like, you know, one of those, like, game shooting ranges.
It's like, Abbotsford.
You know, you'd go to Playland or something, and in the arcade area, they'd have that shooting game that was, like, cowboy themed. Yeah, they've got one of those.
Yeah.
Okay. I can dig that.
It's wild.
You answered so many questions for me, because every time I've driven by Castle Fun Park, I've looked at, like, where it is, because, like, right in front of, like, a mountain, there's not a lot of, like, space.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And I've been like, where the f*** do they keep all that stuff? I don't know where it is. Like, there's not a lot of space back there. So the fact that they have basements answered, like, a lot of questions for me just then.
Yeah, it's, like, two floors and a basement.
Also, that makes it even creepier, which is better.
It's really creepy.
It looks completely run down every time I've driven by it on the highway.
It's not super run down, but the inside is definitely old. They just have new machines.
Incredible.
They also do have DDR.
Well, I guess we're going then.
We're going. Yeah.
Well, I found a reason to go to Castle Fun Park. I've never really understood golf of any sort, mini or large.
Oh, I'm horrible at it, but I'll do it anyways.
I'm gonna
large.
Here's where switch this pod to not be about what we're talking about today, but instead be anti-golf discourse, the big kind.
Oh, I could talk about some anti-golf discourse. Are you kidding me? It is a waste of land, a waste of water. I hate just seeing people there, and oh my god, okay, sorry, I'm actually getting, like, weirdly worked up that I can't actually spit out words. I have strong anti-golf feelings.
No, same.
Okay, my statement about golf is that, you know that scene in Jackass where they have the air horns whenever the old guys are about to, like, hit the ball? They hit the air horn and, like, distract them? That's class warfare.
Not me. Amen. Point Roberts at the golf course with my friend when I was, like, 15 years old.
You're doing the Lord's work.
My favorite thing to do with golf courses is trespass on them.
As you should.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do when I was younger was just, like, walk in a direction.
Yeah.
And just see how, and, like, I would just walk around for hours, and I'd be like, I don't know where I am. But almost always, I would somehow hit a golf course. And I love trespassing, because I did not look like I belonged on a golf course ever. And they always gave me those smarmy looks, and I'm like, oh, if I could take your money, I would.
Golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Golf is boring. Why would you play that? Golf is, like, for rich people.
Exactly.
You know, I talked to my dad once, because, he would sometimes golf with his boss, and I was like, why do you like this? This is boring as hell. And he said, it is an excuse to drink and walk around in the sun. And I'm like, you don't need a golf course to do that.
Yeah.
You fully could just do that anywhere.
Yeah.
Straight up.
So
there are
the only thing I think... Oh, go
there
ahead.
Are many public parks and beaches in which you can just do that.
Straight up.
Yeah, didn't they just straight up legalize drinking in certain parks last summer?
Yeah.
Yeah, in Port Coquitlam, you can drink in any public park.
Yeah, that's like...
Yeah, I've been taking advantage of that.
My favorite meme I've been seeing all week since Vancouver just legalized, they, like, made clear their, like, new, like, drinking in parks program, is someone, like, was like, Vancouver says you can now drink in parks, and someone edited that guy from Always Sunny holding, like, a White Claw in, like, English Bay Park, being like, newsflash, ass. Been doing it the whole time.
Well, I mean, now you don't gotta be sneaky about it.
No.
Not that anyone was terribly sneaky in the first place, but now you don't have to, like, quickly hide it.
Yeah, like, Third Beach was just, like, everybody wasted, and they didn't give a shit. Like,
Kits Beach, they would drive around and hassle you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my experience.
It's Kits, and that's just what they do.
The one time they've harassed me at Kits, they just drove up on their little, like, top ATV that they, and the officer walks up and is like, just put it in a red cup and I won't come bother you next time. And I'm like, okay.
One time I was at Kids Beach and I got accused of stealing someone's phone.
What?
Oh, wow.
Like, the couple were obviously distressed because it was, like, their wedding photos. But then they were just like, listen, if you just give our phone back, we won't call the cops. And we were, like, several meters away from you on the other rock formation. It was wild.
Wild. Like,
bro, we were just trying to eat chips.
Yeah, I spent a lot of my childhood on the beach because my dad has a beach volleyball obsession.
Mm-hmm.
And he always said, don't drop anything. You will lose it to the sand. And I was like, okay, that's ominous, but okay. Good advice.
You will lose it to the sand.
I don't like sand.
Yeah, bro. Okay. I quote that all the time, but like, he was right though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know Star Wars is like a lesson in radicalizing young youth, but like, he was very right about sand, I'll give him that.
Okay, I went to the beach supervising some children yesterday for work, and one of the kids was, like, lamenting about the sand, and it took everything in me. It took everything in me not to say it.
And it gets understandable. Everywhere.
Understandable? Gets everywhere. More like understandable.
Wow! Thank you.
All right. We should actually start now.
Yeah, probably. Eventually.
Welcome to Music is Good. I'm Devlin Galloway, and today I am joined by...
Hi, I'm Annie Negrin.
I'm Tuesday Ferguson. We have our guest star today.
Hi, I'm Ying.
Hi.
I don't have a last name.
You don't, but it's cool. You make good posts online? And you are my friend, and I care about you deeply. And we have been causing mischief and going to McDonald's for, like, 8 years now? Something like that?
Something like that? I want to say we met when we were 14.
Yeah, we were 14 or 15.
Something like that, yeah. So, about 8 years.
Okay, yeah.
But did you go to the church McDonald's?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know it.
I will say that was... In White Rock, yeah.
Ladner.
I am not good with locations, but
that's chill.
That is a solid McDonald's they have over there. Their nuggies were always hot.
It's a landmark.
You can go there if you miss your bus and the next one doesn't come for an hour.
I mean, yeah, that is the Ladner / Delta life.
So, what are we talking about today?
So, we are talking about the album Puberty 2 by singer-songwriter Mitski.
We are celebrating this as being the most trans album name ever made. Possibly.
I have said this album name to so many, like, of my trans friends, and every single time. Every time.
Go, hee, 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 hoo, hoo, hoo.
Oh yeah, understandable. Actually, when I first saw it, I was just like, oh. And I immediately thought of, like, all my trans friends who, like, you know, took hormones. But I really like the name because Mitski had intended it to be, like, because, you know, you think of puberty and what is it? It's a time of being really anxious, finding yourself, being really confused, being really angsty. But it doesn't really go away as you get older.
Yeah.
Like I'm in my, like, early 20s and, like, I'm still... finding myself, I still feel in that flux. So that's kind of what, like, the title's about, and I appreciate that.
You just get enough life experience to say no when people stop taking your mental illness seriously. That's the only thing that changes.
Yeah, and I learned how to do my taxes.
That too.
I only just learned how to do my taxes, and I'm 28, so...
Solid.
Do not know how to do my taxes. My mother is 58 years old and does not know how to do her taxes. My little brother is 20 years old and does not know how to do his taxes. My dad has been doing my taxes for my entire life. My dad has been doing my mom's taxes for her entire life. Like, I don't know how to do taxes.
You know what? I'm not gonna lie, I lied earlier. I started doing my taxes at 17, so technically I was in puberty, the first one, when I was doing my taxes. But it is wildly, easier than I thought it would be, though, to be fair, my taxes aren't that complicated. But, it's mostly just, like, you find a good site that's free, and they will actually like review it for you, and they send it to the CRA. And you know what? I haven't been told I'm committing fraud yet, so I think it's going fine.
You could just say I'm being wildly underpaid. Here's my T4 from a job I quit on the first day. Please give me money.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what you do. That's what you do.
This pod does not endorse tax fraud.
except for when that was our reason for me being absent as a host.
Yes.
This podcast may not endorse tax fraud, but I do. No, I'm just kidding. I wish people would pay their taxes. I feel like if more people who should be paying their taxes were paying their taxes, you know, the rich people, then like probably be doing better.
My one take about taxes is that I sure wish that TurboTax and stuff would stop lobbying the government so that the government could just send us what we owe them and we sign off on it, and then we don't have to worry about doing them ourselves because the government already knows how much we make. And it's all those tax companies making us have to do the complicated way.
Oh my god, that makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't actually know that.
Yep, it's all TurboTax and Intuit and all that jazz. Hello, public radio.
I assume everyone here has listened to puberty too?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I went to the dollar store and I was really overstimulated because it was the Dollarama on Broadway and they were doing construction.
Oh, yeah. So, I have that Dollarama.
Yeah, so I was just vibing in there, like, mildly afraid and just listening to that. And it was a really good experience. I was just buying cleaning supplies for my kitchen and it felt right.
Yeah. It's very much, an album that I listened to in, I don't know how to describe it, both times of strife, but also, like, you know how, you know when you're doing bad, but it's so normal that you're like, this is like doing my laundry.
Yeah.
Not to get, like, depressing with it. To be fair, I have depression, so.
Yeah. It's all good. We are an indie music review podcast. Yeah. we're fine. It's fine.
Okay.
I'm fine. I made this idea not to feel a sense of purpose.
I mean, is it really indie music? Because, I mean, I listened to your last episode about the Digimon soundtrack. And could that really be counted as indie?
No. But we make this podcast in a DIY way, so we're indie.
Oh.
Yeah, we're indie.
Understandable, yeah. I will say that was really interesting as someone who has never watched anything Digimon, and I don't know what it's about at all. I remember one time I was at a party, and we were playing King's Cup, and it was, like, categories. And people were saying, name different Digimon. And it got to me, and I was like, what's a Digimon?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a gun. Yeah.
It's a little animal that is also a gun. And he's your friend.
I love that. Anyways, what was I going to say? Oh yeah, so I'm curious, what are your favorite songs off of Puberty 2?
Okay, I'm looking at this track list.
I really like, I like American Boy, American... The American one. I'm bad at titles today too. Oh my god.
It's all good.
What is it called?
Your Best American Girl.
Your Best American Girl.
Was not American Boy by Estelle. Featuring Kanye West.
Yeah.
And I also really, really, really like the opening track Happy. That saxophone slaps so hard. I'm gonna be honest, when I first started listening to this, I came into Mitski during the Be the Cowboy phase, saw them live, very good, and then kind of just like grew away and stopped listening. And all week I had been listening to this album on really crappy like dollar store headphones, and I was like, it's okay. And then I put my good headphones on today, and I'm like, okay, no, this rules.
Alive.
This is so much better than I thought it was.
Yeah.
So, disclaimer for me, I really like Mitski as a teenager. Those first couple of albums I was super into, Townie is a flopper of a song.
Oh, yeah.
But I honestly, looking back at this album, I did not enjoy it.
Oh.
So, So I don't get to have the cool takes on what songs I like.
I apologize for making you talk about this album.
No, no, don't apologize. That's what we're here to do. Sometimes
Andy's here with controversial takes.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes we have controversial takes. Some Devlin hasn't liked some of the stuff we've listened to, so.
I have, like, on-air freaked out about music that we've listened to on this pod.
Devlin has enjoyed the Neil Young song that he, the Neil Young album that he put out just to troll his label, so.
Yeah.
I liked the troll album, and I didn't know it was a troll album.
Meaning you got trolled as well.
Yeah, I did.
So. It all comes full circle.
I actually almost saw Mitski live also during the Be the Cowboy era. I got tickets, but at the time I was in like kind of a weird relationship, and I accidentally admitted that I used to think about this person while listening to Mitski. And then it was like the scenario where this person kind of like pressured me into going with them. And then I was like, no, I can't go because they're going to play the song and you're going to see that I did not view you as nicely as you probably think. So I didn't end up going, even though I had the tickets. I had like an anxiety attack outside and then we went to Walmart.
Aww. We all have those moments.
Yeah.
I've had tickets that got abandoned for reasons.
Yeah. And that is like so disappointing to me. I wish I could have just gone alone because I've seen clips of her live and I'm like, wow, I literally missed like a religious experience, basically.
Yeah. It seems like it. Like even the you know, the off used as a sound on TikTok, the Tiny Desk concert.
Oh yeah.
Oh, like, I used to love that Tiny Desk concert.
I want to see her do a big yell.
Oh yeah.
I want to see Mitski do a big yell into the guitar.
When she yells into that guitar and I just, like, I feel it in my soul. Like, I don't have that kind of relationship with my mom. It's bad, but not that kind of bad. But I'm just like, oh,
not that flavor.
Mom! Yeah.
Yeah.
Wash my back, please! No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say this, but, like, this whole conversation that we just had is very on brand for Mitski songs and lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why you know what? Yeah. You like. Your experience not going to see Mitski kind of is a Mitski song. I'll be real with you.
Oh, there's a reason why I chose this album. I've been listening to it a lot lately.
Yeah. 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 I also, the opening track was one of my favorites because Mitski was like, you know, sometimes you have depression and then you feel good and then it's like a crappy hookup. And I was like, yeah.
Wait,
that's what I said.
Yeah, Mitski talks about a fair amount in this album.
Yeah.
And I really love seeing people realize that she's saying like rather than C-O-M-E.
Yeah, like actual.
Yeah,
it's like neutral Wilk Hotel good ending.
Yeah, I literally have that in my notes because I took notes for every song, and in Happy underneath it just says Mitski talks about a decent amount.
Hell yeah. Mitski would probably be so good at Jackbox.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you win at Jackbox. I did not know that. I did not pay attention to that. So that's incredibly
she
good.
She says it, like, right there. Like, it's just right there in your face.
I just like to think everyone's saying what they're saying. You know, I'm not going to look at the spelling. I'm like, okay, yeah.
This is like music.
I assume that everyone's an angel, okay?
Oh, not me. I have a terrible sense of humor that didn't grow past, like, 12 years old at some point. So, I hear someone say,
I was literally like, haha, knob, like, like 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, like, literally right before you joined the conversation, we were like, knob's a funny word.
It's just a funny way of describing someone's bits. Because it's not even, like, that knob-shaped. It's not the first shape that comes to mind.
No. I think of a fun little cap.
It just makes me think you're gonna twist it.
Like a
You're right. Remember when I got obsessed with Bop-Its?
Yes.
In the pandemic?
The Bop-Its are good.
Yeah, it's a good game. I got obsessed with it for a while.
Sorry, not to interrupt.
No, that's the story. That's it.
One of my notes here is when Mitski played the most f***ed up, overblown acoustic guitar and my body's made of pressed little stars, I really felt that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I literally have the note and it just is just screaming. Like, it literally is just capital letter A, like, several times. I'm not the greatest at taking notes.
Oh, no, it's... Whenever Mitski, like, gets to the intense part of her songs, I feel like I'm in a panini press, just like... it's panini press music.
Oh, yeah.
That's a compliment.
Something that I like about My Body is Made of Crushed Little Stars and the next song, Thursday Girl, is they both kind of, like, I'm not gonna diagnose Mitski with anything, but, like, they both kind of, like, have flavors of a manic episode. Because in My Body...
huge relate.
Yeah, because My Body is Made of Crushed Little Stars. It's kind of like this duality of, like, this mundane, like, life stuff, like, having to pay rent, having to find a job, you know, acing your interview, with these, like, really grandiose statements, like, my body is made of crushed little stars. Tell them, oh, I better ace this interview. Tell them I'm not afraid to die, you know?
Yeah.
Which, like, hey, capitalism, it'd be like that.
Yeah.
But I liked that. Though sonically, like, my body's made of crushed little stars is not my favorite, but it's definitely a certain mood.
See, I'm I can have the opinion that I don't like the music very much, but, like, looking back at the lyrics, I'm like, holy shit. I understand why, like, this is a teenager. Like, I don't know, when did Puberty 2 come out? Because I think I might have been older at this point.
I know, it's 2016.
Okay, I was like, yeah, I was still pretty young.
I found comments on My Body's Made of Crushed Little Stars on Genius, which are always my favorite.
Yeah, they're always good.
And there's one, I also especially love when, like, someone puts in an about and it's not the actual creator. And I just want to, like, dramatically read this about section that some stranger has written for this. In this rapid burst of punk rage, Mitski repeatedly juxtaposed essential ideas with the pedestrian concerns of life. This highlights the disconnect between the grand scope of her thoughts and the reality of what she needs to do to survive in society. The absurdity of this contrast makes her plead for the chance to be martyred as Jesus was, rather than deal with the mundanities of living. She seeks to die in a manner that will imbue her life with meaning. It's like a fan wrote that.
I would say that. I basically said that.
I'm willing to bet you they submitted that to the site at like 3 a.m.
after listening to that album too many times. Oh yeah.
I think they were looking at the ceiling and they were like, I gotta post this on Genius. I understand.
There's one user here who I don't know if, like, I can't get a read on this comment, but they say this, that they love the way it sounds like a nihilist nightmare. Don't really know what they mean by that.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I can't parse it.
I feel like people use the term nihilist or nihilistic in a way that is not actually what it means, but it'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah, there are a lot of mean comments on the internet on this album.
Really?
I like
they
the
were
album.
All me.
I like this post that lists a bunch of like very white boy indie bands like Neutral Milk Hotel, Pinkerton Era, Weezer.
Oh.
And it's just like, it requires a very particular state of mind, life, young neuroticism. And like, I guess I feel that. It's like the early 20s feelies, but like, I feel like Mitski, like, does it differently, where, like, it's the early 20s feelies, but it's, like, after I've talked to my therapist and, like, been like, okay, like, I'm experiencing growth right now, I guess.
Yeah.
I can kind of get that. For me, Mitski is, like, you ever go through that process of, like, going through, like, really intense self-analysis and, like, everything and like trying to intellectualize like your mental illness or whatever is going on with you. And it doesn't really help, but it does put it in easier to understand terms, even if it doesn't help.
Yeah.
It's like that for me.
Yeah. Like, I said a good word once. I did it. This did not help me, but I like that I said words.
I also think it's really funny that those comments, like, compare it to, like, Pinkerton or Nutrimilk Hotel. When, like, you look at, like, the lyrics, maybe Nutrimilk Hotel a bit better, but comparing it to Pinkerton's really funny to me because it's, like, that album just has so many layers of weird and, like, the lyrics of being, like, I'm so tired of sex is, like, from that one song on Pinkerton. It's, like, I don't think that really compares to, like, the writing on this album.
Yeah.
I can kind of see the Nutrimilk Hotel comparison, though.
Mm-hmm. That one's I'm more understandable of that one.
Oh, fully admit, I've never listened to a single Nutrimilk Hotel song.
And that's okay.
You're not missing out.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know? it's just some guy who looks like Wes Anderson and or the manager for Mr. Meaty, and he's just like screaming about and he wears a sweater.
Oh.
That's what happens. Spoiler alert.
That's me on a Saturday evening.
I mean, I like Nutrimilk Hotel, but that's a different episode.
I do too, but I like to roast them more.
No, it's
But isn't the Pinkerton Weezer album, like, partially fetishizing, like, a young Japanese girl?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, is that the racist one?
Like,
is that, like, the horny racist one? It is, right?
I think it is the horny racist one.
Yeah, oh, that's really, don't compare that to Mitski. She is a young Japanese woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be doing that to her.
Get off the site, genius.com user.
Yeah, actually, like, that's kind of, like, Like, obviously, everyone is entitled to their own taste, and, like, if people don't like Mitski, like, that's fine. That's not their taste, that's fine. But I hate certain criticisms because, for me, it comes from a place of, like, just disregard of where she's coming from.
I agree.
Like, because I see, I'm terminally online, so, like, I'm constantly seeing discourse about a lot of things. And there's a lot of, not even discourse, just a lot of people making fun of her being like, oh, her lyrical content is nonsense. Like, she's just saying random words. Oh, I like this dog. And it's like, no, if you actually look, she's very intentional with her lyrics. Like, she's an amazing songwriter. And she's even said that she hates when people call her songs instinctive or like her songwriting instinctive. Cause for her, it's a very, she's very particular with everything. And for me, it just reads as like, oh, you're like infantilizing a Japanese American woman. When it's like, and you don't even have to like read that far. Cause I've never like seen any of her songs be like, she's not Grimes, you know?
Yeah.
Though I could totally be misreading Grimes. I haven't listened to Grimes in a while, but I don't know. There's, like, an issue I find, like, I have strong feelings on this because I'm half Asian. I'm Chinese, Vietnamese. And so, like, she's a very personal artist for me because talking about that mixed experience, I don't get that a lot in music. But with her, so when people, like, have those kind of criticisms, it's like you were, like, I can't help but, like, smell some stinkiness in their criticisms, you know?
Stinky intentions, yeah.
Yeah. It's not even, because a lot of that kind of stuff is, like, subconscious, right?
Intentions towards them.
Yeah. Like, you may not necessarily think you're doing that or intentionally doing that, but, like, you can kind of see how it's messed up to, like, infantilize the emotions of an Asian woman, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I feel like there's kind of, like, this expectation for her to, I don't know, I don't have, like, coherent reasoning for this, but I just feel like there's, like, she's just got, like, higher expectations placed on her compared to, like, a lot of other indie artists.
Oh, 100%.
The aforementioned white boy bands.
Not even just that, just, like, female artists in general.
Yeah.
Like, I see people compare her and Taylor Swift a lot, and it's just, like, you will kiss Taylor Swift's feet
What?
When she is, like, doing, like, 5% of what Mitski is doing.
Yeah.
Though, like, I'm biased because I really don't like Taylor Swift, but I really like Mitski, so, like...
I don't even think those two are comparable. That's bewildering to me.
That's, like, an entirely different genre.
Yeah, it's because they're, like, oh, they're on similar levels of, like, emotional songwriting, and it's, like, I personally...
Not even close.
I will personally...
It's feelings music, but that's about where it ends.
Yeah, I will personally meet you in a Denny's parking lot and fist fight you to determine this, but okay.
Yeah.
And I will win. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you will.
I was saying, I would agree with Tuesday. Like, I think there is, like, an enormous amount of pressure to, like the greatest, and, like, any little thing that someone can pick apart about this, they will, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I just feel like there's, like, I feel like she gets kind of singled out because, like, she's, I think a lot of the time she's kind of, like, the only, like, Asian-American woman artist that anyone knows. And, I mean, that's not, like, that doesn't fall on her shoulders, obviously. It just feels like that's part of the dynamic, maybe?
Possibly. Like, I mean, a lot of people know Rina Sawayama.
I don't know if she's, like, as popular as Mitski, though.
She's popular in different circles. They do very different genres of music.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I also think it is the genre, because, like, I don't see as much criticism for Rina. But she's also not, like, I mean, not to stereotype, but, like, a lot of indie fans are heinously pretentious.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's not controversial.
But yeah, but there's, like, just a lot of criticism on that. And it's like, yeah, you can, like, not like her. That's fine. But it's when... But, like, I can also say that, like, your criticisms are kind of inaccurate. Like, specifically that criticism about her songwriting, because it's like, she's very intentional with her lyricism.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just seeing her live and seeing her choreography that one time I did, like, very intentional with every single thing about her art. So, like...
It kind of reminds me of St. Vincent in that aspect. Like, it's very technical and very thought over. Like, you know, every single little thing has been, like, there's been thought put to it. Mm-hmm. So, because I've never seen Mitski, but I've seen St. Vincent, and I've seen videos of Mitski play, and it reminds me reminds me of each other, for sure. Especially St. Vincent in her early days, like, actor and stuff like that. I don't know, kind of connects to me for some reason.
Yeah, that's understandable. That's what I appreciate about Mitski, is that she is very intentional about things. Like, you know that song that you were talking about in the beginning, the opener, Happy? You'll see, like, you notice this, like, obsessive, like, repeating sound. I don't know what it's called. But that was, like, intentional. She's like, I want the feeling to be obsessive. You know, I want that I am obsessively chasing happiness.
Yeah.
Damn.
And also, she wanted to evoke the sound of a train, because there's, like, a mention of train in the lyrics, but without actually putting in train sounds.
Mm-hmm. Subliminal train sounds.
Subliminal train sounds.
But hear me out, what if they did put train sounds in?
Okay, that'd be pretty epic. Yeah.
Or, like, one of those, like, shitty train whistles that you get at, like, museum gift shops. The wooden ones that you can, like, taste.
Oh, God. I tasted that when you said that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, you unlocked a hidden memory, for sure.
You know those wooden train whistles for small children? And you put it in your mouth and you blow on the train whistle and it tastes very much like wood and you can chew on it.
Oh, I have never done that, but I also can count the number of times I've been in a museum gift shop, and it's been twice.
Yeah.
Fair.
I don't remember, like, actually ever purchasing one of those. It just, like, ended up in my life.
I've been in numerous, train gift shops, museum gift shops. And one of them was a museum for trains. So.
Trains rides, honestly.
Trains rides.
There is like a war going on in the Rate Your Music comments for this album.
Oh.
Where like people are being like, there's this sad indie girl with a guitar. And then an equal amount of people being like, I don't trust white people who say this is a sad indie girl with guitar.
Oh, straight up. I'm in that camp. When you said that sentence, like, people are saying that it's just sad indie girl with a guitar, I genuinely, like, clenched my fists.
Yeah. I was like, these people would pee their pants if anyone criticized Weezer. I'm willing to bet you.
Weezer fans, keep peeing your pants. That's all you do.
Please continue.
But, no, yeah, there's just... the amount of those comments are making me quite angry, actually, because I'm definitely coming around on this record, and I'm like, no, this is good.
Why would you go all the way to Rate Your Music just to hate on Mitski?
Yeah.
Because I said, I don't enjoy this album, it's not my thing. I liked it when I was a teenager, like, this style of music I liked as a teenager, but I never felt the need to go and hate on her on the internet once I listened to this album again. And I think it's honestly just, like, bitter white men. Like, if anybody is making these comments, it's definitely white men.
Yeah.
It's straight white men in particular. I know a lot of gays who like Mitski, so.
I will say, I've engaged in some Mitski fights online. I've had to verbally fight a fair amount of white women.
Yeah.
Because it's more like, Because, like, I think a lot, like, not that I don't want to gatekeep Mitski, because, like, I think even if that doesn't necessarily apply to your demographic, I think music is one of those things that can help people empathize with others, yeah. Even if that's not necessarily your experience. And, like, she's writing from the perspective of being, like a mixed-race Asian woman, and, like, even if people
isn't she queer as well?
Yeah, she's bi.
So yeah. It's one of those things where she's never directly said that, like, yes, I'm bi. She's very much, she's someone who talks about how she very much likes to keep her personal life separate from her private life. But she does have a lot of songs where she has, like, been, like, she's had the song called Cop Car where she's like, I've loved many boys, I've loved many girls. There's a couple of songs in this album where it's like, I think you're talking about being in love with a girl. So it's one of those things she hasn't confirmed, but, like, you know, it smells a little fruity.
Has it denied.
Yeah. And, like, whenever she talks about, like, in interviews, when she's talked about, like, romantic partners, she doesn't say men or anything. It's always very neutral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, so... Oh, I was just gonna say, So, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, probably. She's just never said it, but, like, probably.
Mm-hmm. I really respect Mitski for keeping her personal life, like, out of the public eye. Like, I think that's something that a lot more artists should do, because, like...
Yeah, like, that's something I've always really admired about Mitski. Like, when she deleted her Twitter, that was a hardcore, like, good for her moment.
Wasn't the offense that led to her Twitter deletion, when she got accused of, like, heading a sex trafficking ring?
No, that happened after, and then she went back on Twitter for, like, 2 minutes to say, I didn't do that, I hope that person's okay.
Okay. I was confused.
I do vaguely recall that now, that's so funny.
I do. I mean...
It was unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, like, I think the person who wrote that post was... having a mental health episode,
yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's one of those things where it's like, it's unfortunate that happened, and, like, you know, of course it, like, is hard for Mitski, but it's also hard for this person who very much believed that, like, Mitski was responsible for this thing that happened.
Yeah,
they went through a bad thing very publicly.
Mm-hmm. But also just respect for, like, not going back to Twitter after that and having, like, that come on you once and being like, I don't need this.
Yeah, I have, I remember in one of her interviews she talked about Twitter, and she's just like, you have to treat Twitter like alcohol, in moderation.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it is, like, one of those things that will, like, consume you and fill you with, like, negative feelings. And that is, like, my main reason for not using Twitter.
Yeah, I'm not on Twitter either. Everybody I know who uses Twitter has said that exact same thing about Twitter.
Yeah, I can't do it. I get, like, incredibly mad within, like, 10 minutes, and it's like, oh, this is bad for, like, my health.
Yeah, and then you realize that, like, you're doing the thing that they want you to do, and you're like, you say, oh, shit, I'm being marketed to.
Oh, I was gonna say, the last time I was on Twitter was because someone was like, oh, what's your, unlikely celebrity lookalikes, and I unprivated my account for a moment just to say that Fiona Apple and Ty Dolla $ign look weirdly alike. And before that, I hadn't made a post in, like, more than a year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't stand Twitter.
I have to go make this comparison now. Holy sh**, you're absolutely right.
It's in the eyes, right? They have the same eyes.
Oh my god, you're absolutely right. That's horrifying.
They have soulful eyes.
Hold up. I'm gonna find some good pictures to compare here. Sending them to the chat right now.
While this is going on, around the time this album came out, Adventure Time character Marceline the Vampire Queen covered a Misky song on the show.
Oh yeah.
Actually?
Yeah, I remember that. Francis Forever or no?
Yeah, Francis Forever. Which is like, I think that's incredible. I think that's incredibly good.
Yeah.
And also, I found out that there at one point, I think on like the Japanese deluxe version of this album, there is a One Direction cover and a Frank Sinatra cover, which I really wish I could have heard.
Yeah.
She
covered Fireproof, and it was a very good cover. I was someone who was not into One Direction because I didn't like the music, but I did enjoy the jokes. So, like, yeah. I knew a weird amount of One Direction for someone who didn't like their music. I was also, like, incredibly attracted to Zayn Malik. And I was like, oh, like, I don't like this music, but, like, your falsetto is incredible.
Oh, you're right. Look at this.
I cannot unsee what I'm seeing here.
Oh no, one sec. I made like a...
Yeah, okay.
Let me pull
that. Your Ty Dolla $ign definitely looks like Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
I forgot how sexy Ty Dolla $ign is. Like, not gonna lie, like, very good looking man.
Oh yeah. I mean, Fiona Apple's a beautiful woman too, so...
Very sexy woman.
It is the eyes, I think. I think it is the eyes.
I'm looking at the Google image search for Fiona Apple, and there's just a lot of pictures of Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, what? Oh, right. He's a big Fiona Apple fan.
That's...
Of course he is. That's terrifying.
It's weird that he would show up instead of just Fiona Apple.
I would be absolutely terrified if somebody told me that Quentin Tarantino is a fan of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a terrifying thought.
I definitely would lose sleep over that.
Literally, me too.
Just the fear of having one of your songs put over a compilation of one of the people's feet in the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a specific comparison I made.
Oh my god, you're so right.
That is like uncanny.
Yeah. It's the eyes! It's the eyes. And the nose, and the lips even.
And the hairstyle silhouette. Like, the lack of bangs.
The middle part, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, you're so right, dude.
Yeah. Damn. No. I saw someone on TikTok talking about people, like, putting their unlikely lookalikes in Twitter, and I was like, oh, I've been sitting on this one for years.
We should have posted this post.
God, that's... I can't look away.
No, me either. I'm just staring at it.
Beautiful people.
They're both very good-looking people, yes.
The very beginning, we never got the other favorite song.
Oh, okay.
Oh, damn.
My personal favorites are Your Best American Girl, I Bet on Losing Dogs, Thursday yeah. Girl, and A Burning Hill. I Bet on Losing Dogs was actually the song that I would, like, listen to on repeat and think of, like, that person that I was with that I ended up missing the concert because of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I can't bring you in to this concert and have you listen to this song.
I think I guessed that was the one.
I genuinely enjoyed that song, actually. Like, I can say that I don't like it. Overall, I don't like it. But independently, some of this stuff for me is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not actually that much of a hater. I think Mitski's very talented, so.
Yeah, I think I Bet on Losing Dogs is just one of those, is like the one song that I find that people who don't even really like the album, they're like, but this song is dope. Like, this is the song. Like, I frequently, like, check on my friends on Spotify by being like, have you been repeating this song over and over again for a while? I need to call you.
Yeah.
You reminded me of 2 years ago, before the pandemic, I was waiting for my friend in a park, and I was listening to Nobody by Mitski. Oh. And she walks up, she's like, oh, what were you listening to? And I just said, Nobody by Mitski. And all she said was, oh, I'm so sorry.
That's what someone said to me the first time I downloaded all of Elliot Smith's discography of Pirate Bay when I was 15.
Oh,
they're like, oh, honey. And I was like, yeah.
Oh, I would like to go ahead and say on my notes on I Bet on Losing Dogs, one of them says, quotes her line when I and it says, one, lol.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
The orgasm is known as the little death. And also the reversal, because in that line specifically, she is the point of view of the, like, she is the losing dog in that moment. Because the entire time in that song, she's like, I look at these losing dogs in the eyes when they're losing. But in this moment, she's like, they're looking down on me when I I just found that I Bet on Losing Dogs is like one of my favorites in terms of like her songwriting. Also, one of the notes I took is just, ah, my ex.
Yeah.
I think that's a common Mitski take.
Oh yeah.
The song just reminds me of that Tumblr post that's like, please can we bring him home, please can we let him join the polycule, I promise I'll walk over to him.
I'm gonna say, I'm gonna keep talking about I Bet on Losing Dogs, because it's the song ultimately, at least from my interpretation, because Mitski has this whole thing where she's like, I don't like talking about what I mean in a song because I think music is up to the listener. So I also hate when people analyze her music and say definitively this is what she means, unless she's actually said it, you know? Because, like, sometimes she does explain that, but some people, like, I look at their analysis and I'm like, no, that's what the song means to you, which is what she wanted you to do, but don't pretend. Don't pretend this is about her. This is about you. Anyways, sorry, sidetrack there. But no, what I love about that song is just, like, I feel like it's a very good metaphor for just codependent relationships and, like, a pattern of getting into relationships that you know are, like, unhealthy and are, like, doomed to fail. But you keep doing it. You're both losing dogs. And, like, you know, that line where she's like, I paid for my place.
That just hit me hard. That just hit me super hard.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like Mitski. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh at your pain.
No, it's fine. I am consistently laughing at my own pain.
Oh, mood. My comrade. But yeah, no, and I also like that line where she's talking about, like, I pay for my place at the ring. Like, she's not just talking about, like, her paying for this place at this dog fight, I'm assuming. She's paying for her place in this relationship. It's affecting her deeply. But she still can't help but go. But yeah. I Bet on Losing Dogs makes me feel very many emotions.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're all just, like, holding our deaths, like, yeah. Yep.
I was gonna say her vocal performance in that, like, I think Mitski is a great singer, but definitely I would say her songwriting is her strongest quality. But, like, her vocals in that, like, give me chills. Like, when she's singing in that part where she's like, will you let me, baby, lose on losing dogs? Like, are you gonna let me, like, fail in this relationship? Like, can I, will you let me be in this relationship even though we both know it'll fail? I love that song so much.
Oof.
The desperation of being in a failing codependent relationship. And you know it! And you know it's not good for you, but you're still there.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, episode check-in, we all do okay.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm about regular amount.
Oh, I'm Gucci. I'm literally smiling and being like, yeah, let's talk about it.
Also, like, the thing that I like a lot after talking about I Bet on Losing Dogs is the little, did you get that, at the end of the recording.
Oh, yeah.
That's just, like, the cherry on top of using these metaphors.
Yes.
Final thoughts on Puberty 2 by Mitski. Even though I know it's very obvious that we all... Mm-hmm, but let's get some final thoughts.
I'm a hater, but I'm not actually that much of a hater. It's just that I'm not into the sonic side. I'm just more into the lyrical prose side, if anything. Mm-hmm. But that's just my stance. I didn't want to go into it too deep because I don't want to upset any Mitski stannies. So.
Oh, it's okay. Like I find. Actually, I can't say that. I can't generalize all Mitski stannies, so I'm not going to say anything about that. quick words, I guess I want to say. Your Best American Girl, an excellent look into the feeling of not being able to attain whiteness and sensing that dissonance when you're trying to get with a white person and feeling like you're the bad person, like you're lesser for it. Love that song for that. Just because, like, it's a relatable feeling. And I Bet on Losing Dogs, very similar feeling to that is a loving feeling, which I think is also kind of fruity. yeah. It smells of, like, she's talking like a girl, like about a girl here. Crack Baby has a similar feeling to I Bet on Losing Dogs. Mm-hmm. Once More to See You is very gay. No one can tell me otherwise.
Yeah.
Happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride!
Yeah.
Oh, and A Burning Hill and I Bet on Losing Dogs are also very similar to me, but I think A Burning Hill is more of the acknowledgement of, like, it's ready for me to move on. It's time for me to move on. I think I'm finally worn. I'm tired of being my own forest fire.
Oof.
Such a good, like, last track.
It is. Mm-hmm. I have in all of her albums, the last track, I've always loved. She's never had, like, a miss for me in terms of a closer.
There's, like, a definite art to, like, placing songs on a track list, and I think that's more of Mitski being intentional.
Oh, yeah. And another thing, just a little fun fact that I want to end with, is that she is a Libra sun, a Capricorn moon, and a Scorpio rising.
That makes so much sense!
Yeah,
and her Mercury and Venus are both... Libra. Are both Virgos, and so is mine, and that is why I probably like her stuff so much.
I was gonna say, there's gotta be, like, a good amount of Virgo in there.
Oh yeah, I looked at her old birth chart, she is mostly Earth signs.
Oh yeah. You can't do track placement that good and not be an Earth sign somewhere.
Yeah.
That's my conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, if you've ever seen Beyonce, like, looked at any videos of her in action, she's a Virgo. And she is so intentional with everything, just planning everything down to the minute detail.
Sophie was a Virgo?
Sophie. Yeah, there we go. I don't know why I was thinking about Sophie, like, earlier in this chat. I have no idea why, but I was like, yeah, I want to talk about Sophie at some point on this podcast.
We got it.
It's coming. Yeah.
I have so much to say about Sophie.
I have one final comment to read from genius.com, because it's a very, very specific one. Mm-hmm. On the page for I Bet on Losing Dogs, from genius user Hisgurbifrish, it's just Hjrgurbfrifh, which I'm assuming does not mean anything. But they said, listening to this while reading chapter 139 of Attack on Titan is therapy, heart emoji.
Oh my god, what?
Yeah, right? That's like...
That's a statement.
what?
Like, those are very emotional extremes from each other, I find.
Yeah, I feel like Mitski's not as on board with Japanese imperialism, but okay.
How many bets you want to put on the fact that that's probably a Tumblr user?
Might be a TikTok user.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe even a DDR.com.
What year was that comment made? That'll give us our final decision.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
It was made a month ago.
Oh, TikTok.
TikTok user.
There we go.
I'm still on Tumblr, there but it's pretty dead.
It is very dead. I'm still on Tumblr as well.
But they do got some funny jokes.
I have found that the jokes have gotten more out there and, like, more, like, whatever the type of sand that's, like, underneath the regular sand is, that's the kind of jokes that are on Tumblr right now.
Oh, I think my favorite part of, like, some of, like, the, I'd say the post porn ban era, because I find, like, a lot of people, like, migrated to Twitter afterwards, and that's why I feel like Twitter is so messed up, because now it's more people who are already fighting on Tumblr. But anyway, one of my, I feel like it was, like, a blast in the past when Supernatural confirmed that Castiel was gay for Dean. I enjoyed myself.
And then
myself.
They sent him in to Spanish. Hell.
And then they sent him to hell, like, immediately.
I like Supernatural for the first couple of seasons, because I was also a Tumblr user. I'm so glad that I didn't continue to enjoy that show, because it, from what I heard about that finale, it's like a show, dude.
Yeah, I will say that's very on brand of them. It's like, oh, we're gonna give you it, but just a little taste, and then we're gonna send him to super hell.
But super hell.
I think it was literally like, it's like a more hardcore version of hell that they sent him to. Something like that. I could be wrong. I haven't watched Supernatural since like season 6, so.
Extra spicy hell.
Say I just gave up on Supernatural. I was tired of it. Also, I heard Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles weren't very nice people.
Jared Padalecki's an I held a door open for him once on accident.
Oh.
I was exiting a building, and you know how, like, if you sense somebody behind you, you just kind of automatically hold the door open for them?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was Jared Padalecki.
How tall was he?
Very tall.
Okay.
I'm short, though, to be fair, but, very tall.
I just haven't recovered still from the Beach Apocalypse, and I don't think I ever
Oh, my God.
Beach Apocalypse. What? Do you guys remember, what was it, like, Tumblr Votes 2015 or something? And it was, like, lizards, and you could vote for the lizards?
Yeah!
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, I
do. That unlocked a hidden memory. Remember when Tumblr did, like, their own version of Clippy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those were, like, the April Fool's jokes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, what I liked about
Making up for the fact that their site has always been a horrible website, but...
Okay, that's what I like about Tumblr, though, is that it's janky that it's, like, easy to stay in your own area. Because, like, on Twitter, like, you could post anything, and, like, a random, like, neo-Nazi can just find you. Like, super easily, because their search function functions. Tumblr, doesn't do shit. And that's why it was fantastic. So nice. Did anyone hear about when Misha Collins was an intern for the White House, and when the Monica Lewinsky stuff came out, he wrote, like, a thing basically saying that all the interns wanted to have sex with Bill Clinton?
What?
Yeah, no, it wasn't under Misha Collins, it was under, like, his, I think Misha Collins isn't his real name, but it was under, like, his actual name or something like that. But yeah, no, he wrote, like, a little thing being, like, we all wanted to f*** Bill Clinton.
Oh my God.
My final thoughts on this album are that, after listening to it with good headphones, I came back around on it, and I think Mitski is a genius, and this album is worth listening to. You out there, if you've not listened to it, please go listen to this album.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reiterate that. Once we get off here, I'm going to listen to I Bet on Losing Dogs a bunch of times in a row while I finish making my soup.
Real.
I've been working on that soup all day.
What kind of soup is it?
Oh, it's literally like I'm just in the broth making stage, but I make sure that I get all I can from...
Excellent. Excellent.
It's what Mitski would want.
It's true. I'm eating my beans, and I'm having a great time.
Hell yeah.
My conclusion is that I'm going to listen to this another time in the dollar store, because I think that fits, and I think that it's a specific experience, and I'm going to recreate it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot, too. I'll try your experience out.
Let's pod field trip to the dollar store.
We don't buy anything in the dollar store. We're all just standing in the corner listening to Mitski.
But we all have our separate headphones in.
Yeah, we're like at a museum guided tour.
I personally like to listen to songs when I'm in those situations. Like Thursday Girl, she's like, I am incredibly emotionally unwell, and I am going to a party to deal with my feelings, and I just want someone to care about me to tell me to stop. And I will listen to that song before I do that exact same thing, so.
Yeah.
Not that there's much parties going on, so. A party for me.
I listen to that before I go into the Discord call.
Yeah, I guess that's it for today. I'm Devlin Galloway. You can follow me at Devlin Galloway on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow this podcast at Music Is Good Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Our Patreon got deleted by accident because I'm a fool. So that is down for now and we'll be back up later. And yeah.
I'm Tuesday Ferguson. You can find me at Instagram user Mimichi.
I'm Annie Niger, and you can find me at on Instagram as Tanky Teardrop.
And I'm Ying, no last name. You can find me on TikTok at SativaPlath69. And on Instagram, actually, as the same thing.
Ying makes really good TikToks. You should check them out.
Don't, actually. I make really cringy TikToks.
Right, I love your TikToks. You tell like, the teens how to go outside, and I respect that.
Lol, yeah. It's okay. I've gone outside once, and that is enough
for me to tell. And now you can share what you learned. Yeah. Now you can share what you learned.
Ying, I've never met you in person before, but I'm just going to say that you're very beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much.
Or handsome. I don't know which
I like both. You prefer. I like
both.
Beautiful
and, you're both. You're beautiful and handsome.
Oh, thank you so much.
And your cat's very cute. Oh,
Gumbo!
Yeah, he's actually been on and off screaming outside the door. I just won't let him in because he will eat the wires that I have about.
I love that for him.
Yeah.
Why do cats and animals want to eat wires? Somebody explain this.
Feel good in mouth.
Zest for life.